Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is, keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. All right, welcome back to another episode of How to Lower Your Tax Bill. We have been going through a series talking about real estate and some different strategies you have, even as a W-2 employee, to enhance your current tax situation. So today we're going to talk about getting suspended. Now, that might bring back some not so fond memories for some of you, but we're not looking at this from the angle of being in school. We are looking at it as it relates to your real estate. So when it comes to being suspended in real estate, we'll kind of define what that means. We'll talk about how do you overcome having your losses suspended in this case, and what are some strategies you could employ if you have suspended losses, and how you might be able to better utilize them to just overall enhance your financial situation. So just to give you a little bit of background, back in 1986, that's when the tax code introduced these passive activities loss rules, and they introduced the dynamic of having three different buckets of your money. So we talked in previous episodes about portfolio income. That's income from stocks, bonds, dividends, interest. Then you have active income, which is generally from your W-2 jobs, your businesses that you're actively involved in. And then you have your passive bucket. So passive income is real estate defined by a default with a few exceptions, and also things that you don't materially participate in. Those are considered passive activities. So if you have a passive activity like real estate, the IRS limits you on how you can treat the losses you receive from your rental properties. So especially in today's environment with, you know, I'm in Texas, so we have high property taxes and insurance rates. With those two elements plus interest rates, it's hard for properties to cash flow when you first buy them. So between the depreciation expense and the taxes and interest on the front end, you probably are seeing a negative on your tax return. Now, if you look and thought, hey, I bought this rental, I'm about to clean up, but you're a high income earner, then you're going to notice that there's a form 8582 that shows that that loss that you incurred is unallowed, unless you have a few exceptions. So we've dived into this before, but just to give you a recap on the suspended loss. So that suspended loss is going to be able to be carried forward to future years, and you can only use that loss in a few situations. So number one, if your income is below $150,000, then you can actually use the loss and it won't be suspended, or it won't be so much suspended. So for example, let's say you make $100,000 and you have a $20,000 tax loss. The IRS gives you up to a $25,000 that you can deduct against your regular income. So instead of you paying taxes on 100, you're going to pay tax on 80,000 minus your standard deduction or itemized deductions. Alternatively, let's say your losses were 40,000 and you made 100,000. You could only take the 25,000. That's your cap. The other 15,000, that would get carried forward to future years. You could also use that suspended loss if you have positive income. Now, before I begin to that, if you're thinking about, if you're kind of right there on the threshold, let's say you make 152, or even if you're at 140,000 and you don't do a 401k account, if you contribute to your 401k, you can actually get more of the loss unlocked. So it's almost like a double deduction. Because once your income exceeds $100,000, you no longer can use the full $25,000 deduction. Once you exceed $150,000, you can't use the deduction at all. So for example, if you make $125,000, you can use $12,500 of the $25,000 limit. The other $12,500 would be carried forward to future years. So if you're kind of right in between 100 and 150,000, or you're over 150,000, just barely, you could look at doing a 401k contribution or increasing it so that you get below the threshold, and that allows you to unlock some of the losses. So like I mentioned, it's kind of like a double deduction. You could also think about, okay, if I have some long-term rentals, maybe I get a short-term rental in here. I do a cost segregation study. I take a big tax loss. That's going to get me below the threshold. And so not only do I take a loss for my short-term rental, I can take the loss from my long-term rentals up to the $25,000 cap. So that's a way to maybe enhance your tax situation. And these are strategies that you want to just look at on a year-by-year basis. So that's why it's important. Tax planning doesn't start when you're about to file your taxes. Tax planning is a proactive thing that you could just look at your situation to assess what options are available to you. And then based on, number one, the investment value of whatever you're doing, then, okay, what's the most optimized tax situation you can be in based on the facts of your situation? Okay, so we're talking about suspended losses. So we talked about, hey, if I get below the $150,000 threshold, I can take up to $25,000 of my real estate losses in a given year. The rest of those losses would be carried forward. You could also either start making passive income. So if you have a lot of real estate losses and they're accruing every year, you could say, hey, how about I try to raise my rents? How about I try to make these rentals more cash flow positive? How about I get into midterm rentals? So, you know, I'll make a little more cash flow. So I'm going to be making more money, but because I have these past losses, I'm not going to have to pay any taxes on my income gains that I get. You could also potentially look at a passive activity like a real estate partnership or something, syndication. Those are things that you could try to say, hey, I have these losses. I could offset it from positive passive income. So if I invest in something passively and I make $30,000, and I have some suspended losses of, you know, $20,000, I could use that $20,000 to offset the $30,000, even if my income is above the threshold. Something else you could do is you could basically try to become a real estate professional. Now, we've talked about that dynamic before, but if you or your spouse become a real estate professional, meaning it's your full-time job, and you work at least 750 hours in the activity, and then you materially participate in the rentals that you have, you can be considered a real estate professional. If you become a real estate professional, it will not allow you to unlock the previously suspended losses, but it will allow you to unlock the losses in the current year. So let's just say, for example, you have $100,000 of losses over the years, and all of a sudden you want to get into real estate full time, and you have another $10,000 in the current year of losses. So now you have a total of $111,000. You can't take those $100,000 from before, but you can take the $10,000 for the current year. So if you become a real estate professional, that will allow you to use those losses to reduce your overall income, let's say from being a realtor or your W-2 income from your spouse. One other strategy that could be viable is, let's just say, for example, you own a commercial building or you own a residential building that could make sense for you to actually work out of. So not your primary house, but you have a separate building that you have a business that you could operate from. So let's just say you've been renting out a commercial building and you have suspended losses in that commercial building from years before and your income is above the $150,000 threshold. You can say, hey, what if I move my office into that building? I pay myself rent, you know, at a fair rate, but now I can use those prior losses to offset my business income. Okay. And then you could even supersize this by doing what's called a grouping election, or you would group them together, I should say. And then you could also supersize it by doing a cost segregation on your commercial building to where now you can enhance the depreciation, create an even bigger loss, and you add that to your prior losses, and that will allow you to deduct it against your business income. So I'm going to get into that grouping thing on a future episode just to dive into that more in depth. But that is a strategy if you have suspended losses that you could use to unlock if you operate your business out of the building that has the suspended losses. Now, probably the biggest opportunity that you have is if you just sell the property. So if you have a lot of losses tied up in a property, or let's just say you have a group of properties that aren't grouped together. And to clarify that, the IRS basically allows you to isolate your rental properties as an individual activity, or they will allow you to group it together as if it's one whole activity. So if I own 10 rentals, I can basically say, okay, how much time do I spend in one of these rentals? And I have to spend at least 100 hours generally in each of them, or I can group them all together as one activity. The benefits of grouping them is it allows you to seem as if you materially participate in all of them if you materially participate overall. So if you spend at least 500 hours overall between you and your spouse, then the IRS will think that you materially participate in all 10 rentals, even if you only spend a few hours in one of them. That's the positive. The negative is if I do have suspended losses, and then I group my activity as one activity, I basically have to sell all 10 of my activities to use a suspended loss. So let me give you an example just so I can provide more clarity. Let's say you do have those 10 rental houses and collectively you have 100,000 of losses in them. One of them has a $60,000 loss and you say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and sell this property. And so we're going to ignore depreciation for a second, but let's just say that you get a $60,000 capital gain on that property. Well, the $60,000 loss that you have will completely wipe it out. Alternatively, let's just say that you had a $25,000 capital gain and you had a $60,000 suspended loss carried forward on that property. Well, now that $60,000 loss can become completely deductible. So not only do you get rid of your $25,000 gain, you also have a $35,000 loss. That loss can then unlock to potentially, let's say you, that $35,000 also got you below $100,000 of income at the same time. Now you can deduct the other $25,000 of losses up to the previous limit we talked about if your income was $100,000 or less and you have suspended losses. So these are all things that, one, you probably need to work with a professional just so you can map it out properly. But two, it does give you a lot of flexibility when you do have these losses on how you decide to use them. Whether that's, hey, I can expand my portfolio and actually start cash flowing more. Now I have some income to offset it. So I can make, you know, 5-6 figures of income and potentially offset it with the prior losses I have. I could decide to sell one of the properties that has the suspended losses. Depending on my income amount, I might be able to not only deduct the losses from that property, but also bring into play some of the other losses I have to reduce my other income. You can also think about if I did get rid of a property and then it had a loss, and let's say there was a small gain attached to it, I can look at that same year to also potentially sell some of my stock that has had a gain and be able to offset the capital gain on that. I could look at maybe doing Roth conversions in those years so that if I convert to a Roth, I now have tax-free income that's growing. So you want to take advantage of the losses when you have them. So if you have a low tax year, you want to look at as many strategies as possible to make sure that you are fully taking advantage of that time because it may not come back around in the future. So once again, if you have any questions about this topic or others, you can email us at questions@logosfg.com and we will address your question on a future episode. But for this week's court case, we're going to talk about something that happened in 2005. This is May versus Commissioner. And this guy, Richard May, managed multiple rental properties. And according to court filings, he spent roughly 40 hours a week managing all the activities that he had. But he did not make this grouping election on his tax return. So I talked about before, if you, let's say you only spend a few hours on one rental and you have and you're considered a real estate professional, but you don't group your rentals together, that rental that has losses that you didn't group, you actually can't use those losses because you haven't materially participated in that property. So if you don't spend 100 hours in every property, then the losses you have for those properties, you can't use unless you make this grouping election as a real estate professional. Mr. May did not do this. So even though he was a real estate professional, he had real estate losses, the IRS still said that he was subject to the $25,000 limit for his losses because he didn't actually put this election. So the IRS can be unforgiving if you don't follow their procedures, because in this case, he probably had a lot of real estate losses and that would have reduced his income in total versus him only having to take $25,000. So if it came down to, hey, are you going to have to pay tax because you didn't follow the procedures to the letter of the law, then they're going to hold you to that standard. So it's important to be very thorough, to make sure you review your tax return with your tax professional, to make sure you make all your proper elections so that you're not in the boat Mr. May was, where he actually missed out on elections just because he didn't add a simple statement to his tax return. So a good lesson to be thorough, have a tax plan on a year-by-year basis, do your due diligence, and to keep more of what you earn. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you.